Mother's Day, Bridgeway. To all of our moms out there, we celebrate you today. I know that this is probably not the Mother's Day you dreamed of. It's a very unique season right now. I miss the Mother's Day celebration that this weekend always is. It's always kind of a time where we fill this place and we celebrate with baby dedications. I love being a part of those and just seeing families together. I think Mother's Day is the one day where mom says, all right, you're all getting up and you're all wearing your Sunday best and coming to church with me. And I miss that today. As I said, it's a unique season. And my prayer for you moms is that you would know without a doubt how uniquely God has designed you and purposed you and called you for such a time as this. We're so grateful for you moms. We celebrate you today. I also want to say a special welcome to anyone who may be tuning in for the first time to our church online, church at home experience. We created this space for all of us because we believe that this time is really special. And you need to know that Bridgeway is the kind of place where we believe that everybody is welcome. And that because of that reality, that nobody is perfect, but by the power and the grace of God, anything is possible. I've heard this statement a lot. Maybe you've heard this too. I've heard a lot of people say, I can't wait till things are back to normal. Have you heard anyone say that? Or maybe have you said that yourself? I can't wait till things are normal again. And I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about normal. What is normal? And maybe more appropriately, what is the new normal? Some of you are like, well, come on, Pastor, you know what I mean. Like, I want to get back to normal, like my normal routine of going to the gym and going to the classes that I like, or going to work and even just having this normal pattern of seeing the people that I work with on a daily basis. Maybe normal for you is, I just want to go to a movie. Or normal would be to go to my favorite restaurant. Or, oh, normal is to order my favorite latte from St. Arbucks. And if there's one thing that this global pandemic has shown us is that there is a complete disruption of normalcy. I mean, nothing is normal right now. And I want to challenge that from the standpoint of our spiritual lives. Is that a bad thing? A disruption of the normal. I mean, I know some things are very different right now. I mean, even just the patterns that we go through on a weekly basis, even for myself included, things are very different. Like, my life for almost 20 years has been wrapped up around the weekend worship service experience, teaching, preaching, being with people. And that is not the same. I'm recording this sermon during the middle of the week. In fact, if I'm honest with you, my week probably looks more like yours does now. I mean, I kind of got a Monday through Friday work week, and then the weekend comes, I'm working for the weekend like you are. My weekend is full of things that are normal like you normally have. Like, on Sunday morning, I go for a long run while everyone's sleeping, and then after that, we usually do family stuff in the afternoon. And Saturday is now full of weekend projects around the house. And I got to tell you, I've seen some things online. Some of you are killing it on the home projects right now. Like a little too much. Like, you're making some of us not look so good out there, right? I mean, like, some of you have taken this time and you've completely remodeled your entire home. Others of you, because it's so different, you've decided to embrace new things. Like, you've decided to learn a foreign language. I've seen that from some people. Or pick up an instrument, learn to play the piano over this time. Others of you, you're just kind of doing kind of life right now thinking, well, what can I experience that's new and different during this time? I heard from one person, though, they said, you know, my ambitions are a lot lower right now. Like, I'm not going for the projects around the house. In fact, my ambitions are twofold. Number one, to stay married. And number two, not kill my kids. No matter where you're at on the spectrum, I think it's important to think about maybe a disruption to normalcy being a good thing when it comes to our spiritual lives and especially to our opportunity for prayer. I mean, even when you come to pray, there's probably some normal things you expect in the prayer patterns of your life. Like, maybe you're the type of person that you just expect, it's just normal for you that when you pray, you expect to hear from God. And what you pray for always comes to happen. God always answers your prayer. Maybe for you, kind of your normal approach to prayer is a normal pattern for you is you pray at the same time every day. You get up every morning in 6:01 a.m. You pray every day. Or you pray in the morning commute, on your drive to work. I've had so many people tell me that over the years. Oh, Pastor, my time of prayer is every morning I get in the car and it's like my own little prayer sanctuary. And that's kind of been changed and disrupted. For other people, it's just your prayer time is different. You always pray for your meals. And it's kind of strange, but you know, the food comes and you pray a blessing over that food. It's kind of strange to think about it. And the food's there in front of you. It's already blessed, but you say a prayer. It's kind of your normal way of praying. My favorite prayer as a kid growing up was the shortest prayer we would have to say before our mealtime. And it was very simply, good food, good meat, good God, let's eat. Maybe you pray that way, or maybe you pray at bedtime, the same prayer every night. Now I lay me down to sleep. And it's as if this time has been changed. And it can kind of become this, almost this danger that if we approach prayer as if it's just something normal, then it kind of becomes just sort of like a normal, average, everyday tool. Maybe, for example, like a tool in your toolbox. Or say you have to hang a picture on the wall at home. What do? You go to the toolbox, you take out the hammer, you pound the nail into the wall, you hang the picture, you put the hammer back. And for some people, prayer becomes kind of that normal tool in the toolbox. Well, I got a problem. I got to get out the spiritual tool of prayer. You find out someone is sick. Well, I better get out my tool of prayer, and you pray. Or Johnny's got tryouts for the travel team. And so you take out the tool of prayer. Or things look really bleak on the job front. Well, I better get out the tool and pray. It seems like the most normal thing to do. There's nothing wrong with that, but I'll be honest with you. When I read the scriptures, when I look at the life of Jesus, the prayers that Jesus offered, the prayers of the first disciples, the followers of Jesus, or the prayers that were prayed during the early church, I don't see normal prayers. In fact, when I look at my own prayer life and the prayers I read about in scripture, I see a wild difference in the type of prayers that they prayed. I see prayers that are just are full of expectation of God to do something extraordinary. Maybe what if we actually came to a time of prayer, and rather than coming into prayer with kind of the normal expectations, what if we came into a time of prayer expecting God to do something out of this world? Whoa, I don't know what's going to happen, but when I bow my head and close my eyes, I'm having a conversation with the divine master creator of the universe, and anything is truly possible. I mean, what if we went into our quiet time and we just were like, whoa, I was not expecting that. See, what I want to talk about today is something that I see missing in a lot of people's experience of prayer, and that is the mystery of prayer. I want to talk today about the mystery of prayer, not normal, not predictable, not it, when I pray, I get something from God kind of prayers. I want to talk about a life with Jesus that embraces the mystery of prayer, because that's really what I see going on in the scriptures. In fact, what I want to do is I want to take you to a place in the Bible, to a story that is the craziest prayer meeting ever recorded. You ever been to like a church prayer meeting? This is like the craziest church prayer meeting that ever happened. It's found in Luke chapter 9. In fact, it's such an important moment in the life of Jesus that it's captured in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I want to look specifically at what Dr. Luke shares with us in his gospel. I'll give you a little background. Jesus had the 12 disciples, but three of them were sort of on his inner circle. He kind of showed things and allowed the inner three to experience a deeper walk with him and a deeper experience at times with him. And those three were Peter, John, and James. And this is one of those moments where the inner three get to experience something truly extraordinary in a time of prayer. In fact, Jesus kind of takes them on a little excursion. In fact, they're going to go for a hike up the mountain. It's almost as if Jesus says, all right, guys, I'm going to show you what prayer, the mystery of prayer, is really like. And we're going to go on a little hike. So grab the Yeti cooler, lace up your Merrells, let's go. And watch what happens. Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 28. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. I'm going to go on a limb here and say, I don't think this is at all what Peter and John and James were expecting when they bowed their heads and began to pray. I mean, things got very weird quickly, didn't they? I mean, first of all, Jesus before them is completely changed. I mean, his appearance is altered, right? I mean, he becomes this flashing light. His clothes are ablaze. His face changes. Scholars would call this moment the transfiguration of Jesus, and it's such an important aspect of who Jesus is. It really puts on display for us that Jesus is both full divinity and full humanity. And it's the full divinity that they're experiencing right now. I mean, that is his clothes being ablaze and these flashes of lightning. Another scholar would say that this shouldn't surprise us. This is exactly what Jesus does. He gives us a glimpse into the throne room of heaven, as recorded in Revelation or in places like Isaiah. The Jewish tradition has a word for this. They call this the Shekinah, the divine glory of the presence of the Messiah. Peter, John, and James are experiencing Shekinah with Jesus. But Jesus is also full humanity. I mean, he walked up that mountain, didn't he? He went on that hike with them. Jesus is hips, lips, and fingertips, right? I mean, he is one of them as well. And this is just blowing them away in this experience of prayer. I can't even imagine what they're thinking. But it's about to get even weirder, because then they notice that Jesus in prayer is having a conversation with two guys, Moses and Elijah, two dead guys. They've been dead for over 1,000 years. More mystery. And the conversation, even more mysterious. They're kind of just eavesdropping, and they're hearing just a fraction of this conversation in prayer. Jesus, Moses, Elijah, having this conversation. And it says that they're talking about Jesus' departure and about how that will bring fulfillment in Jerusalem. See, the transfiguration of Jesus would be this turning point where Jesus would then move from the mountain into Jerusalem, into the city, where he would face the cross and ultimately his death and then resurrection and ascension to heaven. And Jesus and Moses and Elijah, they're talking about this. That word departure, so interesting. In the Greek language, even if you don't know Greek, this word kind of stands out. It's the word exodia. It's the word exodus. It's no coincidence that Jesus is having a conversation with Moses about the exodus that will be fulfilled. See, Moses was the one who brought together the first exodus, brought the people out of Egypt, out of slavery, and into the desert. Now Jesus is going to be the final fulfillment, the final exodus for all of humanity, out of the desert of sin and shame, and into a right standing relationship with Jesus, through Jesus, with God. And they're having this conversation. Jesus, you're going to do this. You're about to make this happen. I'll tell you, this can begin to raise more questions than answers, right? I mean, that this moment of mystery is not normal like we would expect prayer to be, but it raises all this mystery. And I think, honestly, if we want to begin to have a healthy view of what prayer with the divine truly is, that we need to begin to embrace the mystery as well. You know, rather than try to explain everything away, and rather than try to expect just the normalcy, I think what would be really healthy and helpful at times is if mature followers of Jesus, when they went into prayer, and rather than try to kind of answer questions about the spiritual realm, they took more of an honest approach of just simply saying, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I mean, I pray, and there are things that are going on in the spiritual realm that I just don't know. Is that hard for you to say? Is it hard for you just to say, I don't know. I don't know either what's going on and what God is up to when I pray to him. Now, I'm not saying that we can't know some things about God. But I think we often err on the side of thinking we know an awful lot, as opposed to just simply saying, there's mystery and I don't have all the answers. I mean, we should know the narrative that we're invited into. I mean, this is all part of the grand narrative that Jesus is giving us here in this moment, in this time of prayer. And we know biblically that Moses represents the law, the Torah, the 613 laws that were given by God to the people of Israel. And Elijah represents the prophets, the greatest of the prophets. And what we see is that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of the law and all of the prophets. Moses, what you couldn't get the people to follow, and Elijah, what you could only speak of, now will be fulfilled in Jesus. And this just begins to hopefully blow our mind of what's normal and what God is doing in the extraordinary realm of people who follow him. If this doesn't make any sense to you, if you're lost, so were the disciples. In fact, watch how Peter responds. It says, Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what he was saying. I mean, that about sums it up. He does not know what he's saying. Peter is kind of in a moment where he wants to make sense of this mystery. And so he begins to compensate. Rather than leaning into the mystery and saying, I don't know, Peter instead, he goes towards what he feels is his strong suit. Well, I got this figured out. I know what's going on. And he gets this bright idea. Let's build shelters. I mean, Moses is here, Elijah's here, Jesus, you're here. Let's build shelters, or the better translation of that word would be tents. Let's build a tent for Moses. You sit right here, Moses. Here's one for you, Elijah. I mean, Peter is making this really all about himself. I mean, he's starting to kind of direct Moses and Elijah and Jesus. He's compensating. Instead of allowing the mysterious realm of prayer to just stay in that moment, he says, you know what? I'm going to solve this. I'm going to do what I'm good at. I'm going to lean into my strengths. And in essence, I'm going to make this about me. And what if the biggest mystery about prayer is that it truly is not about you? It's not about me. What if our prayer honestly was all about the mystery of God? God, give me more of your mystery. Not things that I can solve and figure out. God, this is all about you. It's not even about me or my problems. Now, that may bother some of you. You might be thinking, well, wait a minute. I thought that was the whole point of prayer, Pastor, is that I could turn over to God whatever it is I was struggling with. I mean, we are in the middle of this whole COVID-19 situation. I've got fears. I've got doubts. I've got loved ones who are sick and without work. I mean, I've got a lot of fear. And now you're telling me I can't even do that. I can't even give that over. It's not about me to give that over to God. I want to say very clearly, don't mishear me on this, that we are called as his children to give all of our cares and all of our concerns over to God. But once we give them over to him, we're not supposed to take them back and solve them on our own. Man, I can tell you as your pastor, I have so many unanswered prayers. I have times when I've cried out to God. I mean, cried out to God, and I haven't heard the answer. Whether it be over loved ones that I've lost, friends that have been taken far too early. Whether I've prayed for marriages to only see them end up not being reconciled. I have prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed. And I want you to know this morning that you and I are called to give all of our prayers, all of our troubles over to God. See, prayer is not opposed to effort. Grace is. Grace is really allowing and accepting God to be God, as hard as that is at times, to allow God to do and to be who he truly is in the moment, as mysterious as that is to us at times. Blaise Pascal famously said that humanity's problem is our inability to sit quietly in our room. What he means by that is we have an inability. We struggle with just sitting quietly with our own thoughts, our own fears, our own doubts. And that's kind of what happens to Peter here, is the whole scene shifts around the fact that Peter cannot stand this moment of mystery. He cannot allow God to be God in this moment. He tries to take the moment into his own hands and control the situation. And this is not Peter's best moment. And watch what God does to him. It says, while he was speaking, that being Peter, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. A lot of people miss the humor in the Bible. They don't think the Bible is very funny. I think this scene is very funny. Here's Peter. He's trying to take charge of this divine, mysterious moment. And he's bossing people around and taking charge and trying to be a good leader. And in the middle of him ranting and carrying on and on, what does God do? God clouds him, sends this giant cloud that engulfs him. I mean, basically, it's the nicest way that God could shut his mouth. And he says, Peter, what I need you to do is I need you to listen to Jesus. I mean, it's about as nice a way as he could do it. He clouds him. You ever wish that God would do this to people who just go on and on? They just talk all the time, you know, just cloud that person. And God, if you're not going to give me the special powers to cloud that person. He says, Peter, you need to listen to Jesus. You need to tune everything else out. And you need to listen for the voice of my son. Now, that whole voice of God thing can get really interesting, because I think we can look for it in sort of the spectacular. You know, that's one of the stories told in the Old Testament is the story of Elijah. And Elijah has this moment where he desperately wants to experience the presence, the voice of God. He's just gotten done defeating 450 of the false prophets of Baal. But because he did that, it made him a wanted man. He's being hunted by Queen Jezebel. And he runs off and he's praying, God, I need to desperately hear your voice and experience your presence. And it gets really wild. In fact, we're told in the scriptures that the wind comes, and the wind is so violent, it tears apart the mountain. And the earth quakes and a fire rages. But the text says very clearly that God was not found in the wind, and God was not found in the earthquake, and God was not found in the fire. But after all of that had passed, it says that Elijah heard the still, small voice of God. I mean, what if we really learned to embrace the mystery? The still, small voice of God, where it's just simply his voice that we search for. That the mystery, the chase, is out of all the distractions, all the disruptions, all the changes, the one thing that is constant is that I can tune my ear into the small voice. Maybe that things are really loud around me. I might have a lot of things competing for the voice of God. But if I search for it, the mystery is actually that I can find it. Listen to this voice of my son, Jesus. At the end of this mystery, at the end of this prayer meeting, at the end of this crazy, wacky transfiguration of Jesus, God promises us that if we search for it, we will find it. In fact, he says the most strange thing at the end, the very last words recorded in this transfiguration. It says, when the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. What did Peter find at the end of his prayer meeting? He found Jesus alone. That's so crazy. I mean, the prayer started off with Jesus and Moses and Jesus and Elijah. Or maybe it's Jesus and the law and Jesus and the prophets. And the end of this prayer, what's so clear is that it's Jesus alone. It's not Jesus plus anything else. It's Jesus alone who meets you in your mystery, who is available for you in your time of prayer. It's not Jesus plus anything else or anyone else. You know, I hear a lot of times, oh, pastor, have you read that book? And it can kind of be a form of Jesus plus the latest and greatest teaching, or Jesus plus a really good podcast, or Jesus plus my favorite worship music. And this tells us that it is Jesus plus nothing else. It is Jesus alone. And it's Jesus alone that we truly need. Some of you, you might feel like you've been clouded. Like all of your effort, all of your striving, all of your ambition, all of your leading right now is just sort of become clouded. And you don't seem to be getting through to anyone or anything else. And this is a moment to hear the still small voice of God. Maybe right now you find yourself in a lot of pain. You know, while this COVID-19 pandemic has hit, the regular, average, everyday struggles of life, the tragedy of health problems and cancer has not gone away. Maybe you find yourself right now in a great deal of pain. I mean, isn't pain kind of another form of mystery to us? I mean, that these problems, or maybe they're mental struggles that you're going through right now. And it's a mystery. Why, God? Will I ever feel good again? Will I ever feel the same again? And what I want to say to you today is there is great beauty in the mystery, that there is great comfort in the mystery, because it's in the mystery where you can find what you truly need, which is Jesus alone. My prayer and my hope for you is that you wouldn't find confusion, but that you would find mystery to be something that you look forward to something that you expect and desire in your quiet time, in your time of prayer with God. To maybe even make that your prayer. God, I want mystery more than I want simple solutions or trite Christian answers, because it's in the mystery that I know that you will truly meet me. Let me pray for you now. Father God, I just want to lift up our church and all of those within the sound of my voice. This is a challenge for us to get, because we so desperately want to run from mystery and into normalcy. And you call us to go the exact opposite direction. You tell us to face mystery, because it's there in mystery that we will see you face to face. God, I pray that these words would just be just a comfort to those within the sound of my voice today. That not by my words, but by your comfort, by your divinity, by your life, Jesus, you would come and breathe life into those that need it this morning. God, may we experience you fresh in our time of prayer, because we've embraced the mystery. It's in your name we pray.